Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamma. Today is Monday, January 22nd, 2018. With me today, I have Brian Chaffin. And how are you, Brian?
It's a brand new week, so I'm doing great. Let's go with great.
Okay, we are totally going to go with great. Dave Hamilton, how are you?
I'm well. Thanks for having me, man.
It's great to have both of you here. See, Brian, I'm going with a great thing.
It's good.
Yeah. And listeners, so glad you are here as well. We might as well just jump right into topics. And let's start off with the pending demise of the massive failure that is iPhone X. Okay. So here's the deal. Ming-Chi Kuo has a report out where he says that Apple has been disappointed with the response to the iPhone X. It hasn't met expectations, especially in China. And so the phone is going to get discontinued. They're going to stop production this summer and in the lead up to whatever new phones come out this fall. And the iPhone X will not stick around as a low-cost alternative to what the new models will be once they roll out. And so I'm really curious what you guys think about this. And Brian, I know that you have opinions. So how about if I start with you?
Let me just warm up here.
Remember, I don't want to have to do any edits.
Balderdash.
I can go with Balderdash.
So he's right that iPhone X is not going to stick around, but that he's not, I'm not saying he's right because I'm plugged into the supply chain. He's right because the iPhone X is is essentially an experimental device, right? Mm-hmm. At any given moment, what we think of as iPhone X today is going to be something that Apple is testing new things out with.
So I like how you said experimental device. The phrasing that I used was public prototype.
Sure. All right. I like that too. The idea, Apple may conceivably stop producing iPhone X this summer, and summer's, goes through August, right? Like mm-hmm. August 21st or something. Is that right? Or is it September?
Well, so the summer ends in September.
Okay. So, yeah. In that this product always had a shelf life as designed. Yeah, this summer, I guess the summertime, at some point in the summer, in September or in August, Apple will stop making it as they're making the new thing. Yes, and it's not because it's a failure. That's ridiculous. And it's just, Ming-Chi Kuo gets too much credit. I think he is definitely plugged in. He gets a lot of stuff right, but he's gotten some things wrong. And his interpretation of what Apple's doing here, I think in this case, is going to be one of those wrong things.
Well, So that last little bit is exactly the way I think about it. I don't think his facts are wrong. I think his interpretation is, and the fact that everybody, including like Gordon Kelly, Mr. Fudd over at Forbes, who sort of regurgitated the Apple Insider piece about it, is crying that the sky is falling. If Apple is changing things now, it's because they knew they were going to anyway. Mm-hmm. They are so far out on supply chain stuff with these things, and they've even said that, the iPhone X has been in development for years and it started being built, sometime around this time last year, right? Mm-hmm. That, the rumors started circulating, all that stuff. Like, we knew a lot of the details of it before it hit, before Apple said anything official. And that's because the supply chain has to get ready. Like, Apple doesn't just go and make, 10,000 of these. They have to make lots and lots and lots of them. So this is, they say they're going to ship 18 million in the first calendar quarter of 2018. That doesn't count what they've already shipped, or they're going to ship, say, later in 2018. There's a lot of these things. That means that they have to plan years out what they're going to do. So if they're reducing orders on the iPhone 10 now, it's because they know and knew already, even probably 6-8 months ago, how this was going to evolve. And to your point, Brian, it makes sense. Like, this was not meant to be a static product. This was the next generation of iPhone. I don't want to say, you know, revolutionary, but certainly a big evolution of the phone. Lots of things are different about it. You know, no home button, yada, yada. And it's an experiment, which means don't expect it to stick around, and don't like case makers especially. And they all knew this, you know, talking with them at CES, they were like, well, yeah, like, we build iPhone 10 cases, but we're not building them for the iPhone, whatever, you know, it is 10S. In September, the 10S. Thank you very much. Yeah, right. Exactly. Right. They're not building them for that because they too kind of have a feeling that there's no guarantee that this particular form factor will remain exactly as it is for next year's model. If you, you know, that's just because that's just, it's kind of obvious. I don't think it shouldn't be news to me.
Yeah. Go ahead, Brian.
I think part of what's making it quote unquote news is, first of all, you know, Apple's doomed. Yay. But another part of it is that, that summertime feels like it could be June or July.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Oh my God. It's early, but summertime isn't, I mean, that's a pretty broad 3 months.
Right.
And it was always going to be stopped in the summertime. It was all, I mean, right. I mean, this was a one generation model. So, I mean, do you understand what I'm saying? It's like, I think putting the labels on it might make it sound like it's some sort of catastrophic change, or that Apple's having to respond to some sort of catastrophic failure. But that's just not the case.
I'm with you. It feels to me like he's got several threads, but the tapestry he's weaving out of them, to steal an analogy from you, Brian, is not the right one. And Dave, yeah. your take that he's misinterpreting information that he has, I'm totally with you. I think that's exactly what's happening here.
And don't get me wrong, too. He is, at this point, the most plugged-in analyst.
Oh, definitely. I mean, it's been rumored. I don't agree with these rumors, but it's been rumored that, you know, he's Tim Cook, right? I mean, he has had information that no one else has had before. But again, there's also the reporting about this sort of takes his indications, which we haven't seen, right? We haven't seen his report, but the reporting, the Apple Insider analysis of it sort of, you know, leads us to believe one thing. And then Forbes sort of took Apple Insider's thing and went like off the deep end with it. But, you know, the quote is that Ming-Chi Kuo expects the iPhone 10 to be end of life when replacements ship. Okay. Like that's very different from doom and gloom. You know what I mean? It's like, so I'm not convinced that Ming-Chi Kuo is wrong. Even I like, it's hard to say. All we get is the analysis thereof and the interpretation thereof. And so I'm hesitant to point too many fingers at him. He is citing, yes, that based on his report, demand is less than expected. Okay, great. At the same time, he's also saying the iPhone 10, you know, is expected to be end of life when the replacement shipped. You know, correlation and causation are often distant cousins.
Yep.
Yes. So, like, these things are true. I fully believe that these things are true. I don't have any way to prove that. But I have no reason to believe these things are not true. In fact, they are exactly as I would have expected it. But, like, I don't know. I don't know how related they are.
One more aspect of his report is that he said that iPhone shipments would be up 5% in the first half of 2018 and then up 10% in the second half of 2018.
Yep.
So,
Than the overall market?
Doing better than the overall market, which is expected to be down this year.
But that's iPhone in general, not iPhone 10.
Right, but there's a limit to how spectacular a failure iPhone 10 can be if Apple's actually seeing, 5 and 10% growth.
Very true. But they also lowered the prices on their older phones that might be selling better now, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Offsetting the perhaps lackluster sales of the 10.
Right.
Perhaps. Right,
So what I'm getting here is that Apple's not doomed. The iPhone isn't a product that just imploded and is going to drag Apple down. And that what's really probably happening is exactly what Apple had planned all along. And it's just business as usual.
And it is certainly possible that iPhone 10 has had softer demand than Apple had originally hoped or intended. And it's also possible that iPhone 10 has not had much demand in China.
Yeah.
But it's a big leap to it just being some sort of catastrophic failure that Apple's pulling the plug on early.
Yeah. Which I do not believe that's what's happening. Not at all. All right. Well, great. Now I'll be able to sleep a little easier tonight knowing that I didn't buy a crappy phone because I like my iPhone 10. So how about WeChat? This whole thing with Apple saying, hey, you can't do the tips in WeChat, and then reaching a deal where now WeChat can have tips in it. And now this whole thing with in-app app support coming, meaning the WeChat platform can run apps inside itself now.
Yeah, they call it WeChat Mini. Largely because the apps can only be 10 megs in size, right? That's the 10 meg limit, but they run inside WeChat on whatever platform WeChat is running on, which includes iOS and of course Android. That gets very interesting when Apple has an app store outside of that. But so, we've always said WeChat wants to be its own platform. And for many people in China, where WeChat's big, it is its own platform. Like, people care about having an iPhone because of what it looks like, not what it can do, because it is simply a WeChat device for many, many people.
Mm, okay.
Which is why counterfeit iPhones do so well over there. Something that looks like an iPhone running Android doesn't really matter. Does it run WeChat? Yes. Awesome. That's what we need.
Okay. So WeChat, which is a messaging platform.
First and foremost.
Has
also evolved. A payment platform. Yep.
Yeah. So it's evolved where now it's a payment platform and an app platform. So it's a mini app platform. Yeah. So it's its own ecosystem.
Yes. Very much so. Yeah. And that's always been the plan. It just keeps evolving into more of its own ecosystem.
All right. And WeChat's available on the App Store for iOS.
Yep.
And so that means ultimately that you may be able to use WeChat in the United States with WeChat's mini apps and completely bypass Apple's App Store if everything you need is available through WeChat.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
And I say maybe because WeChat functions very differently for people in China than it does for people in the US.
And Apple's incentive to allow and even facilitate that is also different in China than in the United States.
Right. Yeah. If this were a U.S. company, if it were Facebook, and to some degree, Facebook is actually doing a lot of this. So it's an interesting parallel to watch. But I feel like WeChat will be given more latitude than, say, Facebook would with Messenger or WhatsApp.
And it should be in China. I've long argued when Apple made it not possible to sell books in the Amazon Kindle app on iPhone, I thought that that was a mistake.
Oh, and I agree, because it's because really what we as users have to do is just an end around. It doesn't that decision does not benefit users. It harms them.
You're right. But it is theoretically good for Apple, except for the fact that it's not theoretically good for Apple, because in my opinion, Apple benefits when its hardware and software ecosystem is the best place to do things. And, you know, it should be like the best place to shop for Kindle books, for instance, going back to that, should be on an iPhone or an iPad.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me should be Apple's goal, as opposed to Apple's goal being to get the 30%. Although, Dave, you were the voice of reason for the value in Apple of ensuring that people know that any purchase they make on an iPhone is going to be legitimate.
Right. 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 I mean, there is, yes, there is, in addition to the 30% that is beneficial for Apple, the safety and security and trust in those purchases is arguably even more important for Apple, because without that, their 30% starts to dwindle.
Yes. All of that's true, but I think that in the case of Apple's Chinese business, this thing that we've been saying about things like Kindle and everything else that Apple has stopped from being, you know, sellable through the App Store, because Apple wants its cut and wants to ensure everything, right? In addition to that, that's all even more important in China, where WeChat is, to Dave's other point, so much more important to the Chinese user. Right. So it is in Apple's best interest to make sure that its device does WeChat in its entirety, because that's what people want.
Yeah, it's it'll be interesting, I think, to see how Apple addresses this inside China versus outside China. So do they need to make additional concessions in China? And so maybe WeChat gets to have its mini app platform just there, and then outside of China, it remains what it is today, which is a messaging app that you can do a tip thing in.
Right. That will be interesting to see. What gives me pause here is that, to Apple's credit, it won something from WeChat on the tipping thing, right? Apple blocked tipping, where people can send money to each other, mm-hmm. in WeChat. And I at the time I called it a mistake. For the exact same reasons that we just went over with Kindle and whatnot. But in the end, Apple won some of that money.
Did they?
Yeah.
Apple okay. has some deal with WeChat. And so they're getting something for the tipping thing happening.
But we don't know what that number is.
Right.
We don't know what that number is.
But so it could be 0.5%.
Which would still be a lot of money. Yeah. And it's also 0.5% that Apple didn't have.
Right.
Right. So if from a purely financial standpoint, Apple is sort of getting its cake and need to get two on the tipping thing. They may end up going the same route here for these mini apps, because some of these mini apps are not free.
That's the tipping thing. I'll take us down a tangent briefly here. Is weird, because you can have donations in your app. Like if we wanted to in our Mac Geek Gab app, we could put a donations function in that could be facilitated by Apple, and we would not pay the 30% on. As long as it is strictly a donation, but mm-hmm. because we offer the people that do that access to, you know, our premium email address, and there are some perks that come along with it, that immediately makes it, in Apple's eyes, and they get to decide the rules of their own app store, not a donation. So we can't, you know, we could do it there, but we'd have to let Apple eat the 30%. These tips, you know, they're, it seemed to be a true donation. But the difference is they're not being paid to WeChat. They're being paid via WeChat to publishers and, you know, content and app developers and that sort of thing.
And so, even each other.
Right, right.
Like Apple Pay Cash.
Like Apple Pay Cash, right? Yeah. So that's, I think, you know, that's where it's like, well, yeah, that's why I thought this was weird that they tried to block it. It's like, well, if it's truly technically a tip, how is that different from donations, which you allow? And it's, you know, because I guess it's one step removed. Apple wants everyone to be Apple's customer, not anything else.
Which totally fits with Apple's modus operandi.
Yep.
Okay, so we're out of time, but I want to ask both of you, do you think that Apple will allow WeChat mini apps for the iPhone in the United States?
I don't
know. Yes.
50-50.
I believe they will.
All right. And Brian, I'm with you. I don't know. I'm kind of torn on that one right now. But Dave, I love your conviction.
Well, I think they will if WeChat wants them to. And I'm not convinced that that's going to happen.
So, all right.
I don't think WeChat, like Facebook wants to take over the world, right? And Messenger everywhere. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's their actual message or if that's ever been said inside Facebook, but that's clearly right. The thing, Messenger everywhere. And they do allow like different kind of bots and games and things like that inside there. So, okay. Like there's some precedent for that. WeChat is WeChat everywhere in China.
Yeah.
So I don't even know that this battle will be fought, but it might be.
Well, one more note. There was a game that got 400 million users in 3 days.
WeChat mini game?
Yeah, WeChat mini game.
Holy crap.
And that's, you know, this is like I always like to remind us, that's more people than live in the United States.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, all of the people. It's more than all of the people who live in the United States.
They all got playing this
in
game.
3 days playing this one game under 10 megabytes or 10 megabytes or less. I don't know how big it was. And yeah, so just a little perspective here on the numbers and why this conversation is important.
All right. Well, on that note, we are out of time, so we have to wrap up. Brian, thank you so much for being here today.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Good times. Thanks for having us.
And Dave, thank you for being here as well.
As always, thanks for having me. Fun stuff.
It's always great to have both of you on the show. Listeners, I'm so glad you are here as well. Thanks for listening. We'll see you again tomorrow.